regular session of the regular meeting of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. We're going to open up. Anyone like to have any public comments for the board?
No.
Come on up. Mr. Chase.
Chairman. Always good to be with you, sir.
Excellent. If you just state your name. Yep, go ahead.
Yes, I'm Bob Chase with the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance. My first recommendation would be to encourage all the people who are making presentations to speak into the microphone, because in many cases you cannot hear in the back of the room, and I think sometime when this laptop is up, it blocks off the microphone, with the exception of Mr. Walton, whom you can always hear. It's hard to hear some of the speakers, so future reference. Other recommendation would be that if we have a special session on transportation, that there be a requirement that is open to the briefing for all members of the General Assembly on the realities of the transportation program, and that any members who do not attend don't get any transportation funding in their district, because I really think there is a tremendous lack of understanding or sense of denial on the part of many members of the General Assembly in terms of just how serious the problem is and the dire straits that our transportation program is in. I'd also like to say that during the past year, the Commonwealth Transportation Group Board, I think, has engaged in some very important discussions regarding transportation prioritization as part of the B-Trans 2035 process. And it is the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance hope that the CTB will continue these discussions this year. I think that while some progress was made during the B-Trans 2035 process, much remains to be done. And I think that we would endorse Dr. Davis's idea of the need to reinvest more money, move money into the planning process. And Mr. Coulomb's observation that we need to look at priorities in a new light given the new realities of transportation funding. But we need to focus on prioritization, because the fact is that the Commonwealth still has no well-defined short or long list of well-defined strategic transportation priorities. The fact is that in the lifetime of anyone in this room, or perhaps anyone alive today, the Commonwealth is unlikely to have the resources to build all of the projects or concepts that are outlined in B-Trans 2035. And even if it did, the question remains as to which projects are the most important or why, or which projects in Mr. Schwartz during the last year observed in his terminology, which are the real game changers, which are the projects that make the most difference, going to make the most difference to the future of this Commonwealth, or which projects, if we don't build, will have the most adverse impact on our mobility, our prosperity, and our quality of life. We don't know the answers to these questions, and we need to find them out. Mr. Chairman, as you know, the Virginia General Assembly this year failed to take advantage of an important opportunity to enact legislation directing VDOT to prioritize Northern Virginia's highway and transit projects based on the ability to cost-effectively reduce congestion. In fact, it's hard to understand, on the other hand, why it's necessary for a VDOT directive to actually cause this to happen, and I think most people would be kind of shocked to know that we're not taking a look at which projects actually do the most to reduce congestion. But knowing the answers as to which projects in Northern Virginia and throughout the Commonwealth most effectively reduce congestion is an important, albeit not the only, factor that the CTB needs to consider in fulfilling its prioritization mission. It is the Alliance's hope that with or without such legislation, VDOT would move forward to conduct such analysis on prioritization in Northern Virginia and other parts of the Commonwealth. The sooner such information is available, the sooner we can assure Virginia taxpayers that current and future revenues are being invested in the best manner. Mr. Chairman, there's another matter before this body, and I'll conclude my remarks here, that the Alliance would like to address, and this is the Columbia Pike Trolley and Arlington County's request to be given control of the Columbia Pike Corridor. I think with regards to this matter, in upcoming discussions, the Alliance believes it is important to protect vehicle throughput in the corridor and not approve a concept that mixes trolleys and vehicles in the same lanes. And we also believe it's important to preserve adequate parking and space for commercial deliveries in this corridor. Finally, we believe that discussions on this matter also need to consider the fact that the jurisdiction that was requesting control over this facility is the same one that has taken legal action to place a major impediment in the way of moving forward on the I-395 hot lane project. And I guess the Alliance would observe that in public policy making, as in parenting, it is not a good practice to reward bad behavior. Thank you.
Mr. Chase, good to see you. Reminds me of those famous words, can't we all just get along? Anyone else? Thank you very much. We now go to the approval of the minutes of February 17, 2010. Anyone have any modifications?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. It's approved. Next is Maintenance Division, Ms. Sorrell. We have a whole bunch of actions on abandonments, statewide abandonments. Abandonment.
The first one is in Stanton District. These an abandonment that allows a landowner to buy property that is no longer needed.
Chairman, I move approval.
Do we have a second? Second. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
And the second action is on a number of primary and secondary system projects in Falk here in Green County. And
Mr. Davies, have a motion?
I move approval.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
And the third one is an abandonment of a frontage road in Spotsylvania County.
Move approval.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. The ayes have it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
On agenda item number 4, I'd like to ask that we defer that to our next meeting for several reasons. That particular issue was the subject of a Good Morning America story. It got generated literally hundreds of calls, at least 50 or 60 in my office. Citizen Group, as of April of last year, had raised $26,000 to underwrite the cost and was working on an agreement with the department where it could be maintained through citizen contributions to VDOT. And finally, Albemarle Board of Supervisors, in their last communication with me, indicated they wanted to keep the ferry in operation because it was the only pole ferry. However, they modified that position as they worked on their budget, indicating they would buy their money, but they did not change their position on wanting to keep the ferry. I think it would be helpful to have a letter from the Albemarle Board of Supervisors, if we don't, indicating they don't object to the closing of the ferry. So I'd like to have a little time to make sure that what we're doing doesn't turn around and bite us.
Mr. Davis, have a motion to...
Motion to defer.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Okay, local assistance. Columbia Pike, Mr. Estes. Haven't you gotten an agreement yet?
We're getting a little closer, I hope, Mr. Chairman. Quick reminder on where we are with the Columbia Pike transfer that talked about before. Back in December, we brought a resolution that the board did modify and pass, asking that authorizing the commissioner to enter into negotiations to develop an agreement with the county. And with that resolution, it set a deadline for April 1st for us to bring that agreement back to the board. Mr. Walton, at last month's board meeting, briefed you on the status of where we were with the agreement and said one of the things we may do is come back to you this month and request an extension based on those negotiations. So the resolution that you have in front of you is asking for an extension of that to where it gives us a deadline of July 1st to bring you an agreement back for the Columbia Pike transfer.
Motion, Mr. Kuhlman?
So moved.
Oh, we're in this panel?
I'm sorry.
Second.
All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you. Administrative Services, Mr. Campbell, action release.
Yes, sir.
Any questions about this one?
Mr. Secretary, that's one that we want to pull off the agenda.
Okay.
The negotiations are not complete on that item, and we would like to pull that from the agenda and maybe handle it next month.
Move to defer.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Great job. Thanks, Ms. Campbell. All right. Now, this one might take a little bit more time. Ms. Pusher, Finance and Revenue Operations Division. How much money you got?
I will have up to $500 million if we are these bonds in May, and that's what this resolution is requesting, your approval for me to take to the Treasury Board our first series of bond issuances from House Bill 3202, the first series 2010A for the House Bill 3202 bonds, capital project revenue bonds. And we are proposing to sell in this first issue up to $500 million. House Bill 3202, for most years of the bond authorization, restricted us to selling no more than $300 million a year, approximately. But if you don't sell a prior year's authorization, you can carry it forward and sell it in the next issue. So that's allowed us, since we didn't sell in 2008 and 9, we're able to sell more than $300 million in 2010. A part of this is not only the $3 billion in authorization from House Bill 3202, but also a portion of Chapter 781, which was the replacement of $180 million in general fund cash to fund some specific projects. They gave us an $180 million additional debt service to fund some projects. So we will actually use a portion of this issue to pay some of those, pay for some of those projects. Also included in your package is the master indenture of trust with our trustee, Wells Fargo, and what we call the supplemental indenture of trust, which speaks to the this specific series 2010A. We are looking to sell additional series in 11, 12, 13, 14 out for several years until we use up our authorization. This is, in fact, paying VDOT and DRPT back for previous expenditures related to bond proceeds used on projects and for federal match.
Mr. Chairman, does it allow any discretionary money as a result of being successful in selling the bonds?
No.
Chairman, Rita, in our past briefings, there were two pieces to how we would arrive at the point where we could issue bonds. One was we were retiring Franz from the Gilmore administration years, and so that's opened up some capacity. Is there also an improvement in the revenue sources that back these bonds that we're looking at?
No. We're going on the same revenue projections on insurance premiums as was developed by the Department of Taxation for 2010 forward. But this is the time that we had indicated we would have enough revenue available to pay the debt service out of the insurance premiums and the PTS fund from this point forward. And our bond, our issuance amounts are established based on that revenue and forecast and our ability to pay the debt service. And our financial advisor has reviewed that bond issuance program, and it's included in the debt capacity analysis and plan for the state of Virginia.
Any other questions?
Yes. Any indication on what the rates
on pricing of these bonds?
I have some documentation to that effect, but we're looking at 3% and 4%. Now, I'm hesitating only because we can offer with the Build America bonds a higher rate of return on a portion of our issue, but it will cost us less because the federal government will make up the difference up to 35%. So we will, this is going to be a competitive sale, but we will be accepting a portion of these bonds as taxable under Build America and non-taxable in terms of a state-issued bond, as you would normally think. But the taxable allows us to provide a higher rate of return to those portions of the bonds, but we pay a reduced interest cost on that, and the federal government pays us the difference.
Almost free money with the historic 3%
institutional investors.
It's amazing.
Pretty good.
And right now there is a tremendous market for tax exempt and Build America bonds under this scenario.
Any other questions? We have a motion.
Move the approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Mr. Pusher, thank you very much. Okay.
Just one question.
Rita?
One question. Will this renew potential revenue for keeping the revenue sharing program? Because it wasn't a revenue sharing program hinging on some bond sales.
This revenue, this bond issue will cover prior CPR bonds that we had put to the program. We limited the program to the $15 million in 2011, but this will cover what we had committed to the revenue sharing program prior. Going forward, it will be limited to $15 million in state dollars only.
Okay. All righty, right away division. Surplus property, Mr. Bennett.
Yes, sir. The item number 8A is the disposal of a piece of surplus property created by the relocation of a roadway to an adjacent property owner. If anybody has any questions, I'd like to
move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Have any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Item 8B is a similar property in the Salem District.
I move approval.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
Can we just, before I
want to ask you something. I just read something about another state actually bundled land sales where they had lots of pieces. And they found that they were actually getting more money for land sales than selling them individually. Have we ever looked at that?
Yes, sir. We do that when the properties are adjacent to each other. We're not so that if we have acquired several residues that can be combined into a single parcel, then we do market it. Now, we're not putting them out. If you're talking about putting them out as a group in a certain county or something like that, we don't find too much of a market for that. Most of our residues that are not sold by sealed bids cannot be independently developed and only is worthwhile to adjacent property owners.
Yeah. But right under the way they currently do it, that the adjacent property owner normally has first shot at.
That is correct.
It just was interesting. I don't know when we have, I guess, other projects. Hey, while you're here, I got to ask you about this. Mm-hmm. So we own an apartment building up in Alexandria?
In connection with the Woodrow Wilson Bridge project, we elected to buy a property with...
Okay, I think I better have a briefing on this. Corley
knows well the particulars of that.
Okay, I do want to get a little bit more about that one, because somebody gave me a heads up, and I said, I didn't know we owned that. I'm a slumlord. He said, would you tell me? No.
Very valuable.
No, he's the slumlord. No. Thank you. All right, next item.
Item number 9 on the agenda is the combination shift in the limited access line that would create a resident property and authority to sell that resident property to Liberty University. The shift in the limited access line is not a change in the control point. It just narrows the width of the right-of-way to accommodate the current roadway configuration.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. White regretted he couldn't be here today, but asked that I move the approval of this resolution, and I do so move.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Passes. All right. Programming division. Action on the 6-year plan transfers.
Good afternoon. We have two transfers to bring to you today. The first transfer in the Bristol District is necessary to fully fund a project that is ready to go to add. And the second project in the Hampton Roads District is to settle some outstanding right-of-way.
Do we have a motion on the first item?
Move approval.
Actually, why don't we just move both of them or no?
Yes. Move approval for Hampton Roads.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Contracts.
There's another item, data project to the 6-year program.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss one? I was looking at. Okay.
We have bringing a program, a project to you to add to the revised 10 through 16 program. It's the fixed guideway study between Virginia Beach and the Naval Station in Norfolk. This is brought forward through the Hampton Roads Transportation Planning Organization and is being funded with our RSCP funds.
Mr. Chairman, move approval.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Contracts. All right, gentlemen, come on up here. Now, generally, it looks like it's lots of good news. Is that correct?
Mr. Secretary, good afternoon, and members of the board. As Mr. Siles is passing out the ballot to you at your station, let me give you a brief update, if you would, on where we are this past month. We continue to find ourselves in a buyer's market. Pricing is still quite good. We are starting to see some increases in pricing on fuel items, items that have a lot of fuel consumed in that manipulation. But in general, we're still getting very good prices. We're also continuing to get a significant interest in the increase in firms wanting to do business with us. We're continuing to get 15 to 20 new firms submitting applications for pre-qualification each month. That's a mixed blessing. Often those firms have done very little of our horizontal type roadway work. They've been mostly involved in small site development, some subdivision development related items, but not typically the firms that we see. And we are continuing to get interest from out-of-state firms. If we may, we can jump into the various bids if we'd like to take.
Well, can I ask the board, do you just want to go ahead? I mean, actually, for the world turned upside down from 5 years ago where you couldn't keep up on the bids. I mean, the bids were way above whatever you ended up estimating, and now it seems to be the opposite. It's amazing, the numbers here.
We were experiencing increase in pricing 30% over a period of time several years ago. In the last year, those prices have come down and either stayed flat, or in some cases we're seeing bids that are very difficult to explain. So when we analyze those bids, in several cases we're inviting the contractor to come in and explain how he established his pricing.
Wow.
Some prices we're seeing, it appears that firms are bidding only to stay in business. There's very little profit, if any, and they are not building reserves into, say, replacing equipment and those types of things. So it's not necessarily a real healthy place to be for our industry.
Yeah. Well, what's leaped out of me, on one hand, yeah, this is all good news. The other hand is, I mean, what are the chances some of these may go belly up as we're as we move forward on contracts?
That's always a risk, sir, but between our bonding requirements and et cetera, we're well protected.
Do you mind if we just take these all on the, instead of going through each one of them? Is that okay with the board? Or does the board want to go through each one? Ms. Pantak, do you want to make a motion? You're shaking your head.
Mr. Chairman, approval.
Second.
Do you have any discussion? Is there anything you want to add?
Only that there are three RR projects in this package that you've awarded today. One is a local project with a trolley system, or a purchasing of four trolleys, and that is in the, I believe that is the last, it's on page 11, this is the City of Alexandria. And this is a very, I would mention that, this is very creative. The City of Alexandria is purchasing four trolleys, and working with the AG's office and the FHWA, Alexandria found a federally procured contract from the state of Florida that we were able to utilize to make this acquisition. And so that was a very creative thing to do to accelerate that acquisition. The chief of the transit services from Alexandria is here if you have any more questions about that, Jim Swanka.
Any questions? You know, actually, while you're here, I do have one quick question. I had met with some transit operators recently, and they were talking about they're seeing real delays in going through. Does DGS who does the procurements? Other than not our procurements, VDOT, but going through the state procurements for purchasing fleet buses or whichever. Do you purchase through them as well, or
we haven't been purchasing through those folks? No.
Director Drake, yeah, I.
Well, Mr. Secretary, it's my understanding that the transit companies purchase their buses, and we do the grants. I wish Corey or Steve were here, but I didn't think that we actually did the purchasing.
Yeah, I guess what the situation is that. For certain fleet operators, like say school buses or modified school buses, they go through, I guess, DGS, is that the right acronym, to get, essentially have the state go out for a large purchase. And essentially all the school systems, the transit operators all agree to essentially go out together to increase the
number. That's true, too. They do multiple purchases.
Yeah, and then what happens is now it's hard to get delayed. Whereas before it used to be fairly quick. Now I guess it's taking longer and longer. But you don't deal with that program.
We don't deal with that particular.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you being here. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Thank you very much. Great job. Okay. New business. I think, Mr. Worley, you had one item?
Yes. Mr. Curley wants to present an issue for a limited access break on 95. I guess Richard Bennett.
Yes, sir. There's two of them in your package. The first one, if you look at it, is on the Dulles Toll Road. That would be caption 267. What these are is that both of these, the Dulles Toll Road and the Fairfax County Parkway over at the Engineering Proving Grounds are design build projects, and as such, the design is being refined since y'all originally looked at the projects probably several years ago by now. And the proposed changes are needed to accommodate the facilities are being built as a part of that project. On the Dulles project, which is from Route 7 headed out towards Reston, the rails are going in the median of the Dulles access road. However, stormwater management facilities and traction power stations are on the outside. And it is for those outside installations that we need to modify the limited access line as it kind of splits all of those facilities if you look at the drawing that you were provided. So we would recommend that this action is appropriate to accommodate the project.
Are there any questions? We have a motion.
Move approval.
That's or was it move on both of them?
Just one
more. Do you want me to explain the other one? I think I need to if you don't mind.
Okay, we'll just do a motion on that one. Second, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. All right, second item.
The second one is in connection with Fairfax County Parkway at the Engineering Proving Grounds. And this is for part of the project that is being added to that is a direct access ramp from I-95 southbound into the ring road of the complex that is being built there as part of the BRAC project. This would provide a limited access break for the southbound ramp to go through the theoretical line there and tie into that ring road. I will note that in your resolution, federal highway action remains pending regarding approval of that. However, in connection with the construction, it's anticipated within the next week or so.
Any questions? We have a motion.
Move to approve, Mr. Chairman.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Slane, the other new business or new items?
Yes. Secretary had asked me to, as a representative of the Commonwealth Transportation Board on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, to give a brief update of those activities. What I put in front of you is just the report, the annual report to the governor. And of course, everybody I think in here understands what the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel is. Obviously, it's in great both physical and financial condition, which the report will go through. There are two projects they wanted me to bring to the CTB's attention that they are working on. First of all, they are the only tolled facility currently in Hampton Roads, and they are looking at new tolling facilities where there will be no tolls, and just going through some of the legislation we saw coming through the General Assembly and encouraging that. So they want to report that they are doing that. And second of all, they have two pieces of land that they consider rest areas that they've used two different approaches to in allowing for rest area facilities and also combining them with chambers of commerce welcome centers. On the north side of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, that is on the Accomack, the eastern shore side, they entered into a provided the land in a private partnership, public partnership, with the chamber, Eastern Shore Chamber of Commerce, where they actually built the facility and house and maintain the facility. So in that particular instance, it is a more of a gift or a partnership for a public purpose. On the most southern island, which is the first island, the island that is most near the city of Virginia Beach, as you're coming through, there's a restaurant and a fishing pier. And they've decided that the concessionaire there needed to be upgraded, and so we went through the process and have selected a new concessionaire, which is in the process of updating about $700,000 in upgrades for the new restaurant, pier, what have you. And also working with the city of Virginia Beach, who will be putting in a welcome center from that approaching from the north side coming to the south. That is a for-profit endeavor. Minimum rents are about $225,000 a year and can approach up to, you know, $400,000 depending on how the concessionaire does. So they wanted me to bring to your attention that they're very much appreciative of the new administration opening the rest areas. They're doing their part. They wanted it to bring and also the fact that they are willing and partner to VDOT and to the state. We've identified Route 13 as one of our corridors of significant influence. Well, without this Bay Bridge Tunnel, that sort of goes away. So just report that the activities and financial condition are good, and they would like to, if the opportunity arose, to come and address this board, their director, as we're having the MPOs in, to give you an update. So that's my report.
Yeah, I'd love to have them come in. It's a great operation. So. And I'm sorry, and I appreciate you doing this, and it went, and I think it would be useful in future meetings. I know, Ms. McCarthy, you mentioned that you're on another. If But just any other boards or commissions that you're on because of the CTB, if we maybe during new business, just have folks give us updates as to, you know, what's going on with those would be useful. Any other new business? Yes, Ms. Clark.
One item, Mr. Chairman. As you know, the board had appointed a Route 29 study subcommittee. I just wanted to report we've met twice. We're fulfilling our duty to, by April 1st, develop and present a draft process on future corridors studies. And you'll have that, and I think we'll discuss it in April. And we're beginning our meeting as well on the larger task, which is not due until later in the year, July 1, which is board approval of the recommendations on these issues and so forth that'll be brought to the board. I thank Mr. Davies, Mr. Schwartz, Ms. Pandak. They've been very useful members of the subcommittee, very helpful, and I think we'll be producing quality product for you.
Excellent. Thank you. Anything else? Just have a couple of correspondence. I just want to make sure we get in the record. Have a petition signed here by 725 citizens of out in Blacksburg concerning their opposition to a roundabout that's going to be built in the city of Blacksburg, or it must be on the primary route. I want to have a letter here from Delegate Schuler commending ICA, one of our contractors out on 81, for some of their work that was done. I'd like to get that in there. Have a letter here from the county, Rockingham County Board of Supervisors, concerning their two of their bids that we ended up voting on and approving today. Just want to make sure that gets into the record. I get this out to the CCB and VDOT. This is a attaboy from our friends at the Federal Highway Administration signed by the administrator thanking us for obligating the $646,030,000. It's a lot of money. So good job there. I want to thank Mr. Davies for sending us this good article, an interesting article about the train depot there at Montpelier. And actually, I don't know, did you send it to everybody?
I think it's just to those names.
Yeah, it just, again, where some of the enhancement money goes, so I think people would generally be interested in seeing it. I have here a letter from Orange County Board of Supervisors concerning the long-range regional transportation plan. And this is, again, some input for our six-year plan discussions. And if I can just get somebody to give an update about this I guess I understand that there was some commitments made on doing that the state, Loudoun County, and Dulles MWOP all agreed to put in some money to examine new alignment of a road.
I'll be glad to discuss that with you now if you want.
Well, again, we made a commitment, apparently, and everyone else is sitting there with their checkbook ready to go, and we just need to...
Yeah, we formed 3 years ago, Mr. Chairman, a group called the Dulles Loop Implementation Group. It included representatives from local governments there. I ended up chairing it as the neutral CTB member. Its primary purpose was to look at access to Dulles Airport in toto, not simply the front door, as we call it, with the access road and Route 28, and to try to make sure that both Fairfax and Loudoun counties, as they developed their own plans, weren't reducing the options that were going to be needed to really make a circulator work around Dulles Airport. So that was the group's developed a consensus among landowners in Loudoun County, Fairfax and Loudoun, and so forth. And the next step was to get along to a preliminary engineering study of some kind that would allow, we think, a private-public partnership to emerge. So the Airports Authority, Loudoun County, and the state looked at what that would cost to at least do a preliminary study. And it ended up being about $690,000 each if you split it three ways. So the commitment, I think, was a verbal one at the time. We'd look for the way to get the money, and of course we entered the cascading revenue disappearing period of our time. So that's, I think, it just got hung up on, we're in free fall on so many revenue scrambles that we never did quite identify where the money would come from.
Okay.
I think the commitment is a good one, and that our money makes the other money good, and it also helps us with that whole set of land use questions between the airport and Loudoun. We maintain that option on a corridor there, basically 606 becoming a free-flowing entry and exit point eventually for Dulles Airport from the west.
Okay. Well, they referenced that we actually made a commitment in writing. So,
well, I was in no position to make that.
No, it wasn't you. It wasn't there. No. It came from Secretary Homer.
Yeah.
So I do have a copy of that correspondence. I'll ask Mr. Worley to come back to me about it. That's all I had. Anyone else? That's the case. So thank you all for being here, and we'll see you all next month. Next adjourned.